to happen.
Burn those calories off.
Maybe jogging in place while I do the show. If I sound breathless, you'll know what's going on. Hey, get that triple dipper sound effect ready. Folks, we got a great show for you. I'm pretty excited about it. So at 3 p.m., Tim James is going to be on the show. You may recall him, Tim James, the son of former Governor Fob James. He ran for governor himself back in, 2010, I believe. He was considered a front runner for governor then. A lot of folks believe he's a potential challenger to Governor Ivey now. And we'll have him on the show at 3 p.m. going to talk about the politics of COVID with him and other things. We'll see what else he might have to say about maybe running for governor. And then at 3:30, you've heard him on the show several times, but I really appreciate his insights. Dr. Jordan Vaughn, who's a medical practitioner here in the state of Alabama, who has great insights. Well, you're hearing so much right now about this daggum Omicron variant. What even is that? And we're going to get him to unpack that with us and maybe put some perspective on it. Because, you know, it's just amazing to me how quickly the press seems to need something to panic over, right? And then I got my triple dipper. Hit that sound effect, Copper.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
Yeah, so the triple dipper today. So here's the deal. I've got three topics that you got to know, things that we're going to theme the radio show after. Number one, and it's going to be part of my monologue here in a minute too, is it's not all about race. It's not all about race. Racism is definitely in the news again right now, but it is not all about race. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a minute. Number two on the triple dipper, the politics of COVID. Man, I'm going to be breaking it down with you. It's amazing how quickly governments, state and federal, are jumping into the fray. Oh, Lord, a new variant. Let's see what we can do. How much can we get away with? And so we'll talk about the politics of COVID here in a minute. And then number three, a legal review. So, you know, I'm an attorney also. There are so many things happening, not the least of which is major pro-life legislation before the Supreme Court this week. We're going to touch on some of that, give you an update on different things that are happening in the judicial world. So a legal review coming up is number three on the triple dipper. But I told you the first one I'm going to do is it's not all about race, and it's not. So I'm sitting here in the studio with a cup of Just Love Coffee. I really am. And I am hoping that each one of y'all had a very good Thanksgiving. I know we did. It was wonderful. It was different, but it was good. We didn't get to see everybody, but we saw all that we could. And I suspect that the gatherings are going to continue for another week or so. Charlene and I, like I said earlier, we went to Virginia to be with our son and daughter-in-law and that most perfect of all grandchildren. I know some of you think that your grandchild is the perfect one, but I'm sorry to have to break it to you. Ours is the best one. No bias at all. None. And that's a 12-hour turned into a 13-hour drive, just even a 12-hour drive. But every bit of it was worth it, every bit. So while we were driving up there, by the way, I listened as the jury came back with their verdict in the Ahmaud Arbery murder trial, the one that took place over in Georgia. And it was a solid and damning batch of verdicts, finding each of the three defendants guilty on nearly all counts. And race was not made a part of the prosecution. At least not formally. But it was certainly a factor on the steps of the courthouse. Every race activist in the nation showed up. And I'll be honest with you, there were some of them who I suspect were hoping for a verdict of acquittal because that's how they make their living, by profiting off the bruised and battered sentiments of racial conflict. But a jury of 12, 11 of whom were white jurors and one black juror, reached unanimous verdicts of guilty in a Deep South state, literally trashing the narrative that these racial pirates have been glomming onto for decades. And in the midst of the post-verdict speeches, at the front door of the courthouse, there was one speech from one man that made all the difference, in my opinion. And it was the victim's father, Ahmaud Arbery's father, the man who lost his own son. He celebrated the fact, first of all, that justice had been met for his son, and then he celebrated the fact that racism did not rear its ugly head and deny that verdict. And then he went there. He uttered the words that those purveyors of division had told us all throughout 2020 that we were not allowed to say. The black man, whose son was murdered by three white men, looked aside from race altogether and he said, quote, all lives matter. And he was right. He was absolutely right. He was spot on. And don't let anyone ever tell you again the South is systemically racist. Don't let anyone rob you of your own lack of bias. Don't let anyone tell you that how you were born or where you live or what you believe has somehow predisposed you to a hopelessness that you cannot get away from. Those race-baiting liars are just that. They are liars. Well, that verdict came down before Thanksgiving. But I was reminded, though, soon thereafter, of one of the most amazing modern-day stories of goodness and racelessness. And yes, by the way, I just coined a new word for you to use in Scrabble if you want to, racelessness. You may have heard the story that I'm about to tell you, and if you haven't, go ahead and just grab a tissue because it's a heart warmer and a tearjerker. You see, there's a sweet grandma named Wanda Dench and lives in Mesa, Arizona. She texted her grandson 5 years ago to have him over to her house for Thanksgiving, or at least she thought she did. She had actually texted another young man named Jamal Hinton, whom she had never even met, and he responded back to her something like, "You're not my grandma, but can I still have a plate, though?" And her response came back, "Well, of course. That's what grandmas are for, feeding people." So he did, and they had a wonderful time. And by now, you may have interpreted the underlying story based on my earlier comments. You guessed it. Jamal's a black kid, and Wanda Dench and her husband Lonnie are white. And the race baiters, they would have said they don't belong together. But they apparently do, because they have now celebrated Thanksgiving together for the past 5 years. Jamal Hinton told Time magazine that each year the Thanksgiving dinner serves as a time to catch up on each other's lives and events. He said they rarely watch TV. Instead, they spend hours talking and laughing. In his words, he said, quote, "Time kind of just flies. We don't even realize how long we've been there. They're really good company," Hinton told Time, describing all their dinners together. You see, that's the real America. Does racism exist? Certainly. But we are not a systemically racist nation, but we are a nation where race baiters and race profiteers on both sides of a racist divide are given far more credit than they are due. I mean, even today, as we speak, the Jussie Smollett trial is beginning on charges that Smollett faked a much-hyped hate crime. He claimed that men in MAGA hats had beat him up and hung a noose around his neck. Well, that whole thing smelled fishy from the start. But the purveyors of prejudice and the clickbait sycophants, they bought it hook and line and sinker because it fit their narrative. But all the rest of us, and that's the vast majority of the nation, by the way, are guilty only of giving them a voice, of allowing them too much time in the public square, and I, for one, am tired of it. I, for one, am willing to use this platform, this show that God has given me an opportunity to be a part of, to point out that I believe that we are far more than what some loudmouth dividers of our people would have the world to believe. Racial stereotypes and prejudices have no place in a free and contemporary society like ours. Now, I know that we've been there. I know that there have been movements that had to take place to get a positive change, some during my own lifetime. But no nation, no people, if you will, has done more in the history of the world to eliminate racial injustice in our own country and around the world. We have, in fact, made the world a better place in that regard. And it's about value. The idea that every human being has worth. And that's not just me. That's in our nation's founding documents, in our multitude of judicial verdicts, in a vast amount of legislatively created statutory law. And I also believe as a Christian that it's scriptural. Think about it. In John 3:16, we're told that God so loved the world, that he gave his only son. It doesn't say for God so loved some people based on the way they look. In fact, we're even told elsewhere in the Bible in 1 Samuel 16:7, God does not even look at the outward appearance of any of us. Go check it out. It's there. So all said and done, I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you had a Jamal Hinton, Wanda Dench kind of Thanksgiving, the kind that says all lives matter, because they do. They all do. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Well, folks, that's the way we are, all right? And that's the way we raised our kids. That's the way I know that the vast majority of you raised your kids. And if they tell you different, look back in your own heart and know what the truth is. We are not systemically racist. We fight racism. As an organized country, as a society, we fight racism. And I'm going to say it to the day I die. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.